Thank you all. Did you notice that that young fella, that tall dude over here, he had more voice than I have ever had. So I don't know where he got that, but he didn't get it from me. He should be a preacher. Well, 2 weeks ago, we were up in Traverse City, Michigan, where we had served as an associate pastor for a little over 12 years, and they were having their 75th anniversary celebration, so we were able to go to that. And they had an evening gathering and then a Sunday morning gathering. The evening gathering started at 6 and ended up being concluded at about 8:30. So that was, you know, 2.5 hours. And then in the morning, their service was about 1 hour and 3/4. So I figure I've got quite a bit of time to work with. But I know there's food over there, so we probably won't go that long. But I was giving Nate a little time to get switched between the PowerPoints there. So I want to start with a little bit of history. Some photos over the years to give us a little bit of background, and then we'll go into the brief message that I want to share as well. So this is the place that Mike was talking about, Garrett's Clothing Store, where they had their first formal meeting. I think I saw in the records 1984. So that's just to give you a little bit of an idea of where it started, and Mike gave us some background on that. And then if you can read the smaller print here, the first meeting was a Bible study, 7 October 84. The State Charter of Incorporation, December 16. The lease on the Trumbull Building was arranged 19 December. Then January 13, 1985, the first meeting on Trumbull, which is just over here. And then the cutoff for charter membership, January 15. And Mike and Marty got in on that, and they are surviving to be able to tell us, as you heard. And then their first Awana meeting was the 20th of January, 1985, just to give a little bit of a timeline to be able to think about there. And then the facility on Trumbull, it had the overhead door here, and I think it was affectionately referred to as the Church of the Overhead Door. But you can see some of the detail there. Faith Bible Church, to be ahead of fellowship, according to what I've read and heard. And this is what the interior of the Trumbull Building looked like. And I believe that is Pastor Seyfried there. And we'll have more on that in a moment. Anybody you know? Yes, there was hair on Mr. Thomas back then, as there was on some of the rest of us. Speaking of, now notice this. This lectern, we still use that. It shows up pretty regularly. It's been around. I don't know if it's as old as Nate, but it's been around. Recognize them? Aren't they cute? So none of our facilities have had baptismals, so we have improvised. The ones we've done more recently have been often in our pool in our backyard. And who are those young folks? Recognize them? So So 1985, the Women's Fellowship began. March 24, adopted the church constitution. March 31 of 85, installation of the first pastor. May 19, first Awana Awards event. July 7, first baptismal service. July 13 to 17, first vacation Bible school. So it's all recorded. There's a number of photo books that have information in them out in the right across from the kitchen. So interesting things to check out there. And then some of the Awana leaders going back at that time. Of course, the Awana Grand Prix was always a big deal. And that kind of tells you that the Saltzmans have been around for a while, associated with Faith Bible Church as well. And Pastor Seyfried and his wife Andrea. And that photo would have been back in the earlier time. Other historical events, 1989, moved to 9600 Central. January 1997, Pastor Seyfried resigned, and then in November of 1997, we came, and then June 1998, we purchased the building next door, which is no longer there, as of just a few weeks ago. 2005, we sold that GMC property. We had wanted to be able to utilize the parking lot especially, and so when we sold it with the proviso that we could continue to use that parking lot, and then the person that bought it sold it to somebody else, and they didn't think they needed to abide by that, so they put up a fence. But we've been able to get by. So anyway, that was part of the history there. 2006, renovated the sanctuary. The kitchen was actually later, but we had a number of different construction projects. We'll show you a little bit of. And then 2007, we began our ministry in Russia, and then renovated the fellowship hall, and we did the kitchen at that time. So I should have changed that around. And so this is what it first looked like. And what do you see here? What are these? So are you glad that you were in these instead of those? But you can see the wall in the front is all flat. And so it's a little bit different. Brings back some memories to some, and some at least it gives you some idea of how things have changed over time. And again, I'm using photos that we were able to come up with. I was sifting through thousands of photos to come up with ones. Here's a photo that I received from Pastor Seyfried, and he, along with a letter, ended up talking with him for about half hour, 45 minutes a few weeks ago. And so he says, "Dearly beloved church family, congratulations on your good and faithful ministry at Faith Bible Church. It is really hard to believe that 40 years ago the Lord led us to meet in a warehouse building, and then thanks to the Dameron family, we were able to move to Central Avenue. I am still amused that you chose the name Faith Bible Church, both because of what faith means and because we would be the first name listed in the phone book for Bible churches." So that came out again. The memories are almost endless of people saved and saints edified. In my mind, Faith Bible Church has a ministry that has God's continued blessing since you follow the biblical pattern of Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. First, you train believers to walk in the counsel of the godly. A modern word for this idea is a biblical worldview. Psalm 100 suggests this by saying that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It is he who made us, created, formed us, and not we ourselves. Second, we stand. The stand that we teach is one based on the stand of sound doctrine, 2 Timothy 2:15, a good Awana verse. Finally, we want to display a temperament that is not scornful, but like that of Daniel the prophet, Daniel 5:12 and 6:3, an excellent spirit. You didn't really think that I would miss an opportunity to preach, did you? May our Lord Jesus Christ continue his gracious work through your pastor, elders, and each of your families. We love and pray for you all in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ, Dr. and Mrs. Richard Seyfried. So I thought you might want to enjoy that as well. Oh, and then the newbies show up. That goes back a little while too. That picture might have been taken in 1998. I think it was an event at the zoo, actually. And I don't remember if it was Rita or Marilyn that took the picture, but one of you took the picture and you sent it to me, and I still have it on my file cabinet. So I knew I could find that one. All right, so that's kind of what it looked like when they moved from the steel chairs to the a little bit more cushy chairs. But if you've ever sat on one of those, they're really not. And then we did some of the renovations, that section there, because that was all open to the back hallway, and wanted to make it a little more usable, wanted to have a more functional audio-visual setup back there. And then we had the library that had multi-use ability, cry room, et cetera. Then January 3, 2007, we found ourselves in Russia, and there are several who were able to go on that first trip. It's sort of an exploratory time where we were working with Slavic Gospel Association and David Genn, who had been here sometime before that and said, hey, you ought to consider this ministry. So we ended up there. And it looked something like this. And while Nathan was doing some sharing at that point, I thought it was a good time to get a picture of kind of what it looked like on our teaching time there. And that went on until 2014. I think actually the spring of 2015 may have been the last time that the session was the number of 16 lessons were completed by that point. And this was tearing out the old kitchen. And that's Bob Steinbaugh right in the middle there, and Mike Thomas up on the ladder. And I think actually that's me in the middle of the kitchen back there. And so this is what it then became. And Richard Mallett had a large part in making that happen, going from the plans to reality. So we appreciate his good work on many of our projects. Then we had new carpet installed, and you can see the closets put into place there. So that was a big project. It took place in 07, and more of the work that was being done there. And it looked just a little bit different. And you may recognize this a little bit more. Board meeting back in 2008. You see Nate Saltzman, Carl Saltzman, Russ McDuffie, Tommy Guest, Bob Steinbaugh, and Nathan Murray on that particular snapshot. And I got some of these photos because I had taken them for preparing for a church directory. So I had them available to utilize. So a little bit of a 2008, so not too long ago. Recognize some of those folks. Ladies' brunch took place on various occasions. Recognize some folks there, perhaps. Vacation Bible School. Anybody recognize that little squirt? And her cousin. And the Largents. This was one of their second visits, because the first visit they just had the one, their daughter, Katie, and then so this was another visit. This was a zoo outing that we went on with them. Ruben Wissimi, 2010, and other times as well. Of course, Janice Johnson, and she's been with us for a long time and is still with us. She's just a different capacity. There's an earlier photo. So the time marches on. The measure of faithfulness. So I'm not going to go through any more of the history, though I have more that I could give on more specific details, but let me just quickly run through my basic outline of what I wanted to share with us now. As we think about faithfulness, there are two aspects to that. One is God's faithfulness. The other is our faithfulness in response to His faithfulness. So we want to emulate the standard of faithfulness. Well, what is the standard of faithfulness? It involves keeping one's word. And the Lord does that. He follows through on His promises. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments." He follows through on His callings. 1 Corinthians 1:9, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." 1 Thessalonians 5:24, "He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it." Now just imagine if we could not trust God. What would life be like? If we couldn't trust Him, but we can. He is trustworthy. He follows through on His callings. It involves concern for others. He limits our trials and temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, and will with the temptation also make a way to escape." So He limits our trials. He establishes and guards His people. And we read, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." 2 Thessalonians 3:3. It involves forgiving offenses. He provides ultimate forgiveness of sins with our response of faith and repentance as appropriate. He provides regular forgiveness as we confess. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so faithfulness is measured against the standard of God's faithfulness. He is absolutely unchanging. He is that standard that we can count on. He doesn't guarantee that life is going to be easy or comfortable or trouble-free, or that every church is going to grow to be a huge success in the world's eyes. But He does determine to be with us and to provide what He has promised, and He will follow through on all of that. So He is faithful. Then we need to embrace the principles of faithfulness. Now there's the parable that's found in Matthew 25:14-30 that talks about the talents being given 5 and 2 and 1. I'm not going to read that, though I have it here if you want to look at it. I'm pretty sure you probably remember how that went. But one of the things that we notice here is that it was founded on relationship. And it's in relationship to the master that the talents were given by the master to these three different individuals that are noted here. So faithfulness is always in relationship to a person or an ideal, whether it be with a spouse or a friend or a parent or a leader or a master or truth or good. The master gave gifts, these talents, to his servants, and they were all equally related to the master, but he gave gifts according to their ability, it says. And so the gifts were according to the master's choice. And the size of the gift was according to ability that is indicated. There was a responsiveness that was expected. Regardless of what the amount was, there was an expectation that you respond according to what you have to deal with. And we all have that. Faithfulness is motivated by accountability. It is determined by our relationship to the Master. Accountability is expected of all, regardless of abilities. No matter what ability we have to deal with that. No matter what size church you have, you deal with what you have to deal with as well. And we do that. That is what we do. Accountability is based on our responses. And that was the issue in this parable as well. What is your response to what you have been given? How do you deal with that? Faithfulness is measured by investment. Taking what we have and using it in an appropriate way. They had freedom to use it as they saw fit. They were not told how they had to use it exactly, but they were to use it. And God doesn't tell us exactly how we are to use our gifts. We are to use them wisely and for His purposes. They were expected to use their gifts consistent with the Master's will, as is our need and desire as well. But that requires a working knowledge of the Master. Do we know Him? Do we know what He wants of us? They were expected not to waste the gift or the time that they have. And we have a similar thing. We have certain things that we have been given. We are to use them in whatever context the Lord puts us in. And so we all have that obligation, responsibility, privilege, and the wherewithal through the Lord's gifting and the presence of the Holy Spirit to do so. So the real issue is not whether God has been faithful to us. He cannot help but be faithful. But whether we have been faithful to Him and to His church, to His calling on our lives. So how are we being faithful to Him now in our serving, in our investing ourselves in His work, in and through the church, in the world in which we live? So as we celebrate the special day that we're celebrating today, I'm so glad that you are here to be able to do that, we need to evaluate our own personal faithfulness as we think about the faithfulness of the Lord as He has worked in and through us over these years.